The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Monday, May 14th, 2018. I'm Seth Leibson. He is Chris Buskirk. Say hello, Chris Buskirk.
Hello, Chris Buskirk.
And Bill Clay, our producer, standing by to take your calls at 602-508-0960.
Great compromiser.
Yes. The son of.
Or grandson. Not sure which.
Yeah. Henry Clay. The most beautiful eulogy I've ever read was the eulogy Abraham Lincoln gave of Henry Clay.
I cannot mention Henry Clay without you responding that way.
Really?
Yes.
It's a trigger?
It is a trigger. It is beyond a trigger. It's now a trope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It might take me to my next point, which is the second best eulogy I ever read. Do I ever do that?
Now, you are in a rarefied air here, Seth, because how many people have second best eulogies?
Huh?
How deep is your list?
I study eulogies. I think that's a great way. I don't know. I just think it's a great way to learn about people and lives. And anyway,
most people would say that. Well, maybe this is an overstatement. Sometimes I have to check myself on what I'm about to say. Pericles' funeral oration,
third favorite.
I figured if it wasn't one or two, it had to be three.
Yeah, it's my third.
For many people, it's number one.
For many.
For people who keep such lists,
yeah,
it's often number one.
The second best, by the way, since you asked, is Bill Buckley's eulogy of Allard Lowenstein, who is a liberal congressman and friend of Bill Buckley's.
Well, I don't know how official any
Buckley
of these rankings
better than
really are.
Interesting.
Well, you've got to admit, I mean, that's pretty good high rhetoric. Lincoln, Buckley, Pericles. It's up there.
Who compares Buckley to Pericles? You.
Michael and Paul, don't go away. I want to get to you in just a second, but I just got to get this off my chest.
I just want to know how many people keep these lists.
I think more than you think. I think a lot of people study eulogies. Eulogists. No, I do. Beautiful
those
eulogies
are, people who
are
do
beautiful
it,
things.
Sure, those are people who are paid to do it. Those are the professionals. But what about the people who do it as an avocation?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you think there are more?
We're in an area I was unprepared for.
Do you think there are more or less people who do this than there are never nudes?
I feel.
There are dozens of us.
What's a never nude?
People who never take their clothes off.
Like never?
Never, ever.
I've never heard of this.
Of course you have. It's a joke from Arrested Development.
No, I don't remember it.
Did you watch Arrested Development?
Oh, sure. With the truck with the elevator to the escalator to the airplane and all that?
That's the one.
I just got to get this off my chest because it's something I noticed the last 2 hours. It's not like there wasn't really big news out of the Middle East today. I mean, the embassy movement from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy having been opened in Jerusalem today, is a huge, monumental event. Several presidents have promised it. One did it. And the top of the news hour for CNN last hour and this hour was Melania Trump undergoing a kidney procedure. All our prayers to Melania, of course. And
four. Not to be a miserable.
What did
pedant.
I say?
Two.
Yeah, all our prayers for and best thoughts being sent to. Sure. Better way to put it. Thank you. But
we don't want to get a reputation as idolaters.
No, or iconoclasts. Or sesquipedalian, so let me move on. So I just don't remember a first lady. I lost you with that. I just don't remember. CNN was built around international news. This is why they had their reputation. There's almost virtually nothing about the Israel embassy being moved, which is a hugely monumental event. And I think the reason is because it might look like a victory for Donald Trump, God forbid. If you go to the CNN website, and I'll do it so you don't have to, the top story is Melania Trump undergoes kidney procedure. And then there are five stories under that, including Dr. Gupta explaining her procedure. The next biggest story in the second column, so you know CNN knows how to do international. Can you guess what it is, Bill Clay? Royal couple is concerned for Meghan's dad after report that he won't attend wedding. So you know they have an international bureau. And under that, then we have Margot Kidder's death and a caged tiger at a prom sparking an uproar. That actually interests me.
Or you think that sparks an uproar? The caged tiger?
Yeah.
Uncage him.
Yeah, right.
Let him out.
Yeah. Then
you want to see an uproar.
Now, you know they're covering Trump because the third column, the headline is, Trump tells his leaky staffers they are traitors. Then we get some Israel news. We do. Deadliest day in Gaza since 2014. Oh, is that the news out of Israel? Deadliest day in Gaza since 2014. There was something else that went on there today. There was something else that went on there. And please don't buy this narrative. Please don't buy this narrative that the Gaza protests are nothing but protests. They are attempted invasions complete with Molotov cocktails.
And flaming kites.
Flaming kites. Weaponized kites with homemade bombs on them.
One of them started a rather large wildfire.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was reported earlier today. Here in Arizona, when you hear wildfire, you think, oh, no, kind of no big deal maybe, but
desert.
Desert, right. I mean, a wildfire.
Desert. Hello, desert.
Wildfire can, it consumes resources. It can consume massive amounts of ground. They're very dangerous.
You and I in the first hour were describing what these quote-unquote protests were sounding like. Rushing the fence, trying to cut it down, trying to burn it down, weaponizing fire ablaze kites, throwing Molotov cocktails. It's not a protest. It's an invasion. That's the definition of an invasion. So word to the unwise, if you don't want to be shot out, don't do that. How about that? How about that? I am young, I'll admit it, but I also wasn't born yesterday. And I do remember being told that if Israel would only get out of Gaza, there would be peace from Gaza. They moved out root and branch with no preconditions in 2005. The only thing they've gotten is rockets, tunnels, and Hamas, which is sworn to the destruction of Israel. That's all they've gotten. That's why land for peace is a will of the wisp. Michael is in Phoenix. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys today?
We are great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm amazed at the headlines from CNN compared to the actual news that's
going on. No kidding, right?
You know, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, President Trump is keeping every promise he's ever made during his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving forward. I'm surprised that somebody didn't tell him early on that campaign promises aren't expected to be kept.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's impressive. What's happening with Israel today is amazing. I'm beside myself. I feel so good about it. It's one of the best things that could ever happen. I see nothing but good coming from it. And I see a lot of people being upset about it, but I think...
Why are they upset about this? I'll tell you why they're upset about this. They're upset. The only people who can possibly be upset about this are the people who are upset that Israel exists at all. Honest to goodness.
Exactly.
Honest to goodness. I mean, why the heck should the embassy not be in their capital city?
And it should have been...
How many times is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran?
Exactly.
Zero is the answer.
Exactly.
800 times in the Bible.
Exactly. And then with the events with North Korea that's going on.
Pacification. Again, we are no longer doing air raids. We are no longer right now worried about ICBMs from the little tyrant.
Exactly. And I see that as only developing more and more. I mean, if we can denuclearize the peninsula and then have an official peace treaty signed between North and South Korea, and then reunification. And I see that down the road coming.
North Korea has invited the world to come watch and inspect the destruction of its nuclear reactor. They have come and invited the world to. Who saw that coming? Aside from Donald Trump and his supporters, CNN didn't.
Well, no, they didn't.
Who saw the demise of the Soviet Union? Aside from Ronald Reagan and his supporters, the New York Times didn't.
I mean, even in the news, when three Americans were released from North Korea, and the leftist media couldn't even acknowledge that that was a good thing.
Michael, if any liberal tuned into this show and just listened to the last 50 seconds, they'd go, "What? What? Hostages were released from North Korea?"
Yeah, exactly. Without a penny being paid.
Right. Not $400 million, that's for sure.
Exactly. So anyway,
promises kept.
And that's it. That's it. He's keeping promises, and I see the midterms as being a huge success.
Huge. I just don't know what you fight. You cannot fight something with a nullity. You cannot. Michael,
no.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I got to run. 602-508-0960. Karimiyamai. I don't know what note that is. It's awfully impossible. Well done, Jay and the Americans. I am Seth. He is Chris. Sharon is in Phoenix. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, gentlemen. You know, I just wanted to say I'm so happy, too, that the embassy is going to be in Jerusalem. You know, it's like I never understood why other people felt like they could tell us where we could have our embassy at. And if you heard President Trump speak about how that came about so quickly, in his rally last week in Indiana, he was talking about how the ambassador, David Friedman, found the site. We already owned it. He found a room. It just needed some upgrades. They did that for a couple of $100,000. So instead of waiting 6 to 10 years, he said it was able to happen within just a short period of time. So I think it's astonishing.
It's astonishing. It's astonishing that it's not being covered by CNN, and it's an astonishing moment that Donald Trump called the bluff of the State Department's longstanding bias here. You know, the longstanding bias was this would inflame the region. Well, it hasn't, and it wouldn't, and it never was going to because it was always a sideshow. It was always a sideshow.
Yeah.
And what Donald Trump did, what President Trump did here was in sharp relief proved, or in sharp relief practiced the Dennis Prager point. Let's get clarity. Talk about agreement later, but clarity is more important. Clarity, Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. Now,
exactly.
now you want to talk about a peace plan, we can talk about a peace plan, but Jerusalem's not on the table.
Well, and just the way that it was all able to fall together so quickly, too. You know, there's, I don't know what it is, but if you know, out there in the realm, but it was just all meant to be. And really, only a business person like President Trump could have realized, why would we spend $1 billion, you know, which is what he had been told. It would be $1 billion in, like, what, about 8 to 10 years?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, was like almost like just a blink of an eye. It's there. And I just love it. I just love it.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, you know, this is... It's a big moment in the world. It's a big moment in foreign policy. It's a big moment in the Middle East. And I used to say things like Donald Trump is doing what Ronald Reagan did, though they aren't to be exactly compared. And so I would pull that punch at the end. But quite frankly, you know, aside from the personal characteristics, Donald Trump is playing even bigger ball than Ronald Reagan in some respects. I mean,
you know,
the issues are a little different, but if you think about what Ronald Reagan was known for, it was basically three things: destroying the Soviet Union, tax reform, and making Americans feel better about being American again. This has all happened in 15 months.
We're back to that. And, you know, it just would be so great for our country if some of the hate could go away. I think there'd be less.
How do we do that? How do we do that, Sharon?
Well, I don't know what we can do because it's really just a certain sector of people that are keying it up. And I don't know. I feel like we should start wiretapping some people. You know what? You know, what exactly is Obama up to, you know, under the scenes and Valerie Jarrett and that. So kind of uneasy.
I almost wonder if There's an old saying I like to redound to from time to time, and it was a saying from the late 19th century of an evangelical leader, and it's sometimes the best way to show a crooked stick is crooked is not to spend time shouting at it or denouncing it, but just laying a straight stick next to it.
You know, that's kind of what I'm doing. I just...
Dwight Moody, you know, Dwight Lyman
Moody.
I've
never been a real dramatic person. I just try to say, you know, just look at things are working out, you know.
Right. So I'm thinking a lot along those lines. And, you know, you kind of think there have been these calls, and I agree with them constitutionally and otherwise. Maybe not politically. There have been these calls, you know, fire Mueller. I don't know. Maybe politically, let him keep just, you know, it's becoming absurd. It's becoming absurd. I mean, Stormy Daniels is where Mueller has taken us, and it's showing itself to be the crooked stick that it is without having to fire Mueller. Maybe we should fire him. But politically, maybe we don't have to. Just let them fall into their absurdity and continue to crook themselves.
Well, the old thing, what is that phrase? You hang yourself with your own noose or something.
Yeah, petard. Exactly. Exactly. Falling on.
Anyway.
I mean, I'm just wondering out loud. You know, you just watch... On the one hand, Mueller, CNN, they're consumed with Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti, who is, you know, these guys are just ridiculous scourges. And yet we're told about the ethics of Donald Trump, you know.
I just don't understand, though, what she was hoping to gain from it. But I really have paid very, very little attention to it, so I can't even address it intelligently. It's like, you know, not that I like this sort of thing, but it's like, you know what?
Well, you have an aging F actress. It's not a mystery to me what she was trying to gain.
Yeah, I do. I understand that part of it and everything, but it's like, and I hate to also go back and say, well, because it marginalized it. Well, look at what Clint did. Look at what the Kennedys did. I mean, Ted Kennedy, I mean, let's be honest. He walked away and left that woman to die. So it's like, short of him killing somebody, how can anybody complain? You know?
I understand that point, too. Now, I fully understand that point. This is nothing like that. It's just nothing like that. And yet more is being made of it. And that's the irony of the time we're in. But see, if you think that there is a basic common sense and a basic fairness that beats in the breast of the American people, which I do think, then let this just unfold. Let this just unfold and let, you know, the country slowly come to the appreciation that as loud as CNN is and as loud as the New York Times may appear to be or is widely read, it might be widely read, but, you know, put their audiences together and you're at what, Chris? I don't know, on any given day, totally 2 million at best.
Of whom?
If you put the total combined audience of the New York Times and CNN together on a really good day, you might get 2 million.
That's pretty beautiful.
It's pretty small. I think I'm right about that.
Yeah.
It might be smaller. But is that what you're thinking? It's not bigger.
Of the New York Times plus CNN?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why.
New York Times circulation is about, you know, 800,000 to a million. Isn't it?
Wow.
It's 3 million.
Is it 3? Okay. On Sundays.
Huh.
Let's look. Let's look at the break.
Yeah. Well, I just, in closing, you know, I pray for my president, and I especially pray for our first lady, too, because she's just been, you know, really scorched by.
Let's say it is 3 million, though. Okay.
It is.
Okay, let's say
it's 1.6 million daily. It's about 3.1 million on Sunday.
Okay, so let's give it its best shot on Sundays, added to CNN's best shot during the week, and you're at.
Oh, hold on, that's 2012.
You're at 3 million people. Okay, fine.
Oh,
there are radio hosts on our side of the aisle who get, you know, four times that share. Just because it's full of sound and fury, you know, the worst are full of passionate intensity. We'll have the numbers when we come back. I'm Seth. He's Chris. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Put your hands on your hips.
You didn't do the next lyric.
No, I didn't.
You're a father of young children. I am Seth. He is Chris. 602-508-0960. Do I have to? I bought a bunch of new suits recently, darker suits. Do I have to? I grew up thinking black shoes are what you wear with these things. Do I have to go with the brown? Why are people wearing brown shoes with black and blue and gray suits?
I don't know, but I wish it would stop.
You're with me on this?
I'm totally with you.
I can keep the black shoes.
Keep the black shoes.
I have nice black shoes. I have nice brown loafers. I don't want to go out and buy these really brown shoes to go with the black suits.
These bright
or blue
electric
suits.
Caramel shoes that everybody's wearing with their dark suits. It doesn't, it, no.
Brown goes with brown.
Too
black
trendy.
Goes with dark.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The standards abide.
The standards always abide. The trendy, if something is trendy, here's a simple rule to live by. You'll appreciate it. Don't do it.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
I guess. I mean, I don't get it, but I just wondered if I had to go out and buy brown shoes. I don't want to. Okay, good. We've solved that.
Problem solved.
Okay. A lot of sartorial discussion today. Did you want to give us the updated numbers on the New York Times? Pat Sajak just tweeted out.
I thought this was fascinating, Seth. Let's separate TV from print.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Print, we'll just call online. We'll include that in print. The New York Times, the latest numbers that I could find that are publicly available, the New York Times reported at the end of 2017, so about four or five months ago, 130 million monthly readers. That means just somebody who maybe just clicked on the site one time. Okay. It's an interesting number. In some ways more important, 3.5 million paying subscribers.
Online included. Okay.
Mostly online.
I'm sure.
Because most people aren't getting the print paper. Right. So about 3.5 million. Okay. Now, here's another, that's print. Now go to television. The Washington Post, by the way, which is kind of number two, Wall Street Journal's two, and then the Washington Post is three, just in terms of numbers. The Post is kind of about 500,000.
Yeah, I was going to guess it was a far number two.
500,000 in print and about 1 million online. So about 1.5 million total.
Okay.
So nothing to sneeze at. But TV, Pat Sajak weirdly just tweeted out something we're talking about here. Maybe he's listening to the show. Hi, Pat. I'd like to buy a vowel. 6 million people watch MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News combined.
Okay.
And just to put that in perspective, Fox is always winning these battles.
Right.
Why? Because I'm just looking at the numbers. So Tucker Carlson, which is the number one, number two show, 3.15 million watch his show.
Wow. So the same number of people who read the New York Times are watching Tucker Carlson.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hannity, 3.3 million.
Or that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, or subscribe to the Times.
Fair enough.
Slightly different. Right. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting, which says that MSNBC and CNN, right, they're both in that time slot. Fox is over half of all of cable news that's being watched.
Right. So why do we take it seriously?
It's a big country,
and I guess we take it seriously.
The new Roseanne show?
Yeah.
Here's one, just another data point.
Like 14 million or something?
About 10.5 million.
Okay.
The first two episodes were crazy numbers because it was over 18 million. Since then, it's kind of steadied off around between 10 and 11 million people are watching that. Okay. So meaningfully more than all of cable news combined.
Okay. I noticed that ABC, I think it's ABC, just canceled Kevin Can Wait with Kevin James. Were you aware that he even had a show with Leah Remini? It was a good show.
No idea. Apparently, I wasn't the only one who didn't know.
It had a conservative twist to it, or tinge, like Last Man Standing. Thank you. I can just think. Bill can just talk for me. I know there is such a Vulcan mind melt between Bill and me. I wish I had that with Dagny. It's not always the same thing. Okay, so the takeaway here is, what are we afraid of? That's my point. What are we afraid of? I mean, we'll continue to blast and correct CNN because there is a population that, I think they get more hits from people retweeting and posting their videos. I honestly think they get more viewers that way, repurposing of their stuff. But to take it that seriously, don't. Don't be demoralized by it. Just expose it and defeat it. Expose it, defeat it, and crush it. This is our time. Back to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Seth Leibson. He's Chris Buskirk. Really, do we have to do this? Okay, we do. Michael has emailed me a website called The Art of Manliness. Rule number one is how to tie a tie. And then he says, and he's been wearing brown shoes with dark suits for years. I should search it. You know what the problem is with this email? A website called The Art of Manliness.
It's actually a good website.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is anyone on my side today? Can you be on my side?
I've been on your side on everything except
this. The Art of Manliness?
It's a pretty good website, yeah.
I have no truck with it. Zero truck. Hi, Paul. Paul in Peoria. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, very good. I didn't know I was on. I apologize.
No, you're on, man.
That was not very manly of me.
You're mass communicating.
Well, listen, that is a good website. They even show you the correct way to hold a hamburger.
Okay.
It is a really, really cool website.
It's fun.
So
I'm almost wondering how civilization at all has existed, lo, these thousands of years, without this website. How to hold a hamburger?
Yes.
No, how to do it right.
Yes,
how to do it right.
The Art of Manliness is upholding that.
What is this, Saudi Arabia? We're going to have virtue police coming in because I'm mishandling a hamburger?
No.
However you like. But we are upholding the highest things and the best things.
Exactly.
The telos of a hamburger. Good Lord.
Okay, well, I don't think I'm going to allow you very much time. This is a heavy subject. I'm bumping into this idea of Jewish Bolshevism. Have you ever heard of this?
Well, is there any other kind?
Well, Bolshevism, Lenin, I mean, as I understand it, Bolshevism is the source of the October Revolution and communism. And it removes the worship of God and puts the center on these elite academics or man that they'll make the rules. And so I don't think it's a true thing. So I didn't know if you had done any research on it or if it's just this.
Well, here's what I know. I mean, I'll tell you what I know. And I don't know if this is what you're getting at or not. But the Bolshevik movement, as much of the communist movement, had a lot of, you know, Dennis has probably spent more time on this than any other host I know, had a lot of secular, Jewish leaders. And yeah,
right.
I mean, Leon Trotsky certainly would probably be the most famous. But it was because pardon? Go ahead, Paul, what?
I was going to say Lenin's grandfather or great grandfather.
Well, there's a lot of it there. There's a lot of secular Jews or atheist Jews who were leaders of these millenarian movements, because that became their new religion. That became their religion. Once they got rid of God, they believed in the perfection of man, and so it's no surprise to me. I mean, I've seen this basically my whole life, but. I don't know if I'm missing a bigger thesis to it.
Well, I'm hearing it a lot more frequently over the past year or so. And I think it has to do, you know, with people like Bernie Sanders and other academic Jews who are not religious Jews and are more more man-centered than God-centered. And I think it's born out of the idea that man will make up his own ideas. He's smarter than God. There is no God, and therefore man is going to be in charge of everything.
I guess what I guess communistic approach,
and it ends up failing.
I guess the asterisks I put and hesitations I put around all this is, I just don't think there's anything Jewish about it. Judaism is, you know, a religion. It's a belief system. There is nothing in communism. There's nothing in Marx. There's nothing in Lenin. There's nothing in Trotsky that is supported by the Jewish faith or the Jewish religion. They left Judaism to be, you know, Bolsheviks, to be communists.
Okay.
And you know, I think when one talks about, you know, religion being the opiate of the masses, you get a fair sense of what their views of Judaism or Christianity or, for that matter, Islam was. These are anti-religious movements who believed in the perfection of man and bringing heaven on earth. I'll let Chris weigh in if I'm missing anything here.
My point is that it's another tool to be an anti-Semite. You know, it's just another battering ram. It's another opportunity. And it came about today because I got into a discussion because of what happened in Israel. But
well, tell me, how is it? I might be missing that connection. Tell me how that works.
Well, because, you know, we put our embassy there, and we shouldn't do that. The Palestinians have a right to East Jerusalem, and who are the Jews? They're usurpers.
Oh, well, that's an easy answer. Okay, but that's an easy answer. I mean, we can have a long discussion about who East Jerusalem should belong to, but the easiest of answers is, guess what? The embassy's in Western Jerusalem. It's not in East Jerusalem. They're just wrong on the facts.
Well, it's been Israel's capital for 3,000 plus years.
Yeah, but the Knesset, the parliament, the embassy, it's all in West Jerusalem. It's
all
not
in the West Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's
correct.
Not in East Jerusalem. I do believe it should be part. I mean, you look, everyone is free to worship in East Jerusalem since 1967. Funny how that is. Not everyone was until 1967. So we can have that discussion. But just to keep it easy, just say, you know, sorry, sir, your facts are wrong. It's all in West Jerusalem.
Yeah, and it descended into this Jewish Bolshevism, and therefore the Jews are evil people.
Well, I mean, I don't know. What religion was Adolf Hitler born into? What religion was Joseph Stalin born into? Right? I mean, I think that's the fair retort. It doesn't matter what religion you were born into. I think you have to try and comport the philosophy and the actions to a religion that they didn't even claim. They weren't claiming to speak on behalf of Judaism. They were dispensing of religion, but I'll let Chris say a word or two. If there's anything more to say to it.
I think you've got it. It's when, this really is the sin of the fall, right?
Right.
When you shall be as gods, right?
Right.
It's the creature trying to put himself into the place of the creator. So in this way, we saw, as you said, you're talking specifically about Jews who became atheists finding a political religion.
Yeah.
Right, and
yeah.
trying to have a political ideology do for them all the same things that a transcendent, permanent, God-centered religion would do. It doesn't work, and it ends in tears.
Right, because you can't have a belief in man. I give you man.
Yeah.
You know, I give you man. What religion was Mao born into? I mean, I just don't know how well this works, Paul, right?
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't work.
Jewish Bolshevism is... I mean, they're antithetical terms.
I have as much patience for notions of Jewish Bolshevism as I do for, you know, Christian Bolshevism or Christian Nazism. It has nothing to do with Christianity any more than Bolshevism has anything to do with Judaism. They just don't comport. And there's a reason that, you know, the communist country did what to Jews? Did it elevate them or imprison them? It imprisoned them.
Right.
There was a refusnik movement for a reason. How pro-Semitic was the communist movement? It wasn't. It was anti-Semitic. All right, Paul, I'm with you, brother. I'm Seth. He's Chris. You know, we kind of didn't say enough about Mother's Day on Friday, so let me do it when we come back. I have a little story for you. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. We have to teach a little bit every day of what used to be taught. And I hope everyone had a really good Mother's Day, a great Mother's Day. I love this story, What Bradley Owed, from The Moral Compass by William J. Bennett. There was once a boy named Bradley. When he was about 8 years old, he fell into the habit of thinking of everything in terms of money. He wanted to know the price of everything he saw, and if it didn't cost a great deal, it didn't seem to him to be worth anything at all. But there are a great many things money cannot buy, and some of them are the best things in the world. One morning when Bradley came down to breakfast, he put a little piece of paper neatly folded on his mother's plate. His mother opened it, and she could hardly believe it, but this is what her son had written. what Mother owes Bradley for running errands, $3, for taking out the trash, $2, for sweeping the floor, $2, extras, $1, total that Mother owes Bradley, $8. His mother smiled when she read that, but she did not say anything. When lunchtime came, she put the bill on Bradley's plate along with $8. Bradley's eyes lit up when he saw the money. He stuffed it into his pocket as fast as he could, and he started dreaming about what he would buy with his reward. All at once, he saw there was another piece of paper besides his plate, neatly folded, just like the first one. When he opened it up, he found it was a bill from his mother. It read what Bradley owes Mother. For being good to him, nothing. For nursing him through his chicken pox, nothing. For shirts and shoes and toys, nothing. For his meals and beautiful room, nothing. Total that Bradley owes Mother, nothing. Bradley sat looking at this new bill without saying a word. After a few minutes, he got up, pulled the $8 out of his pocket, and placed him in his mother's hand. After that, he helped his mother only for the price of love. How good is that?
Gives me a reason to look forward to Mother's Day.
You're a little misty-eyed.
Yeah, you did it last year, too, and I loved it then, and I love it even more this year, Seth.
What Mother owes Bradley. If I ever get another dog, I think I'll name her Bradley. Be a good name for a dog. All dogs' names have to have two syllables and end with a vowel.
What about Spot?
That's not it.
Rex?
No.
Rover?
Rover, no.
Doesn't end in a vowel, but
right.
Not a bad
close.
Name.
Close, two syllables. Do you know where the origin of Fido came from for the traditional name of a dog? It was Lincoln's dog.
Lincoln's
That's how they got
dog,
Fido. Yeah. Two syllables, ends in a vowel. Lincoln rules. Bradley. To accompany Dagny. Until tomorrow, class is dismissed.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.